New Orleans Saints quarterback Jameis Winston puts together his best practice thus far in New Orleans Saints camp day six. But there's an undervalued reason why everything worked for Jameis today. I'm going to let you know what it is and, of course, get you all that land yap on another episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks so much, as always, making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget, we're free and available on all podcast apps and on YouTube, where we're live right now. I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA, your New Orleans Saints expert, credentialed member of the media. And of course, you can find me every day over at USA Today, Saints Wire, Tuesdays on Locked On NFL, and here with you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. And we are live here for another post-practice episode of Locked On Saints. New Orleans Saints training camp day six is in the books. If you're here watching live, make sure you give me that your team every day in the chat. Of course, you can drop it through your comments if you're watching later. If you're listening, of course, you can always hit me up on Twitter at Ross Jackson NOLA. So what is it that you need to know about New Orleans Saints training camp day six? We're going to break it all down on today's episode, including a fantastic and very easily the best performance by New Orleans Saints quarterback Jameis Winston thus far. Big shout out to everybody that is already here up in the chat. Appreciate y'all being here. Don't forget to get your questions in so I can answer them in tonight's pre-recorded episode. But let's go ahead and get underway with our biggest story of the day. And of course, it's Jameis Winston. New Orleans Saints quarterback Jameis Winston goes, I want to say it was 8 of 10. I've also seen like 10 of 12, depending on how many passes were thrown on the day for Jameis Winston, showing you a little bit of efficiency and comfort in today's practice. The New Orleans Saints offense really needed a bounce back day. The New Orleans Saints defense has been dominant so far throughout camp. In particular, yesterday when the pads went on for the first time on Monday, today on Tuesday was their second padded practice. This was a situation to where the New Orleans Saints offense needed that bounce back day, and they absolutely got it. And it was in particular, they were able to get it done under the leadership of Jameis Winston. But there's something specific about what we saw from Jameis Winston today that I think is something that should give New Orleans Saints fans a lot of hope about his progress, as well as the New Orleans Saints offense's progress as a whole going into the 2022 season. And it's that you saw a dynamic in today's practice that you haven't really seen in New Orleans. You certainly didn't see it last year in 2021. The Saints operated very efficiently close to the line of scrimmage, being able to complete passes out of the backfield to guys like Mark Ingram and Tony Jones Jr. and Devin Ozigbo and Abram Smith got involved a little bit today. Alvin Kamara had like a veteran day, a little bit of a day off in this one. So you got to see a little bit of all of that, but you also saw the deep attack from Jameis Winston and the New Orleans Saints offense. And the two people that you expect to attack deep were the guys that had the nice plays downfield. So that'll help us kind of roll into our play of the day today. Before we get to that, there was one play where Jameis Winston scrambled to the right side, and Chris Olave did a really great job of identifying the fact that Jameis was scrambling to the right side, moving to the same side, finding a pocket in the defense, sitting so that he could then catch the pass, then turn upfield, put a nice move on the linebacker on the sideline as well. So a little bit of run after catchability there from Chris Olave. So really good stuff to see from that point. But also, we saw the big touchdown again today. Jameis Winston connecting with Deontay Hardy, 50 yards downfield for the big touchdown. And here's where we can get to sort of the underrated aspect of why that worked and how it all went down. I asked Deontay after practice during his post-practice presser what he saw during that play. And he mentioned that he was just watching the safeties and that they knew what coverage they were going to be in. And so they knew exactly how the safety was going to play it. And then he said something really key. He said, and then Jameis gave me an adjustment. If you run it this way, we're going to be able to connect for a deep touchdown. Like, we're going to be able to hook up downfield. And so I probed a little bit further. What was the adjustment? What did he tell you? What was it that he said that adjusted your route? Was it an angle thing? Was it a pitch thing? Was it a pace thing? Stuff like that. And so he described that it was indeed the angle of the route. See, Deontay was running a little bit of a post route down the field, so he ended up pushing upfield first and then kind of angling inside, but also still up, also upfield. But instead of sort of doing it at what would be, you know, like a 45 degree angle or anything like that, he kind of did it just a little bit kind of, you know, I don't know how to describe it, but he didn't push all the way in. He stayed going vertical for the most part. And because of that, Jameis and Deontay were able to hook up downfield. Deontay got past Justin Evans on the outside. PJ Williams played underneath, which was something that they knew was going to happen. The coverage assignment on the other side, based on what they had seen earlier, told them that the safety would crash down for an underneath route. That's not PJ doing anything wrong. That's PJ doing exactly what the defense is supposed to do. And that's the Saints game planning on the offensive side and the quarterback and wide receiver scheming up how to go ahead and attack that defense. So these are the things that you want to see from Jameis Winston and from Deontay Hardy, an understanding of the offense and understanding of the defense that they're facing and how to attack it. And I think oftentimes we talk about Jameis and his ability as a deep ball passer, right? As a guy that can push the ball downfield and all that. But we don't often talk about enough, though, is that we see this from Jameis, his ability to adjust wide receivers' routes based upon defensive coverage time and time again. Remember that Marquez Callaway touchdown in the Jacksonville Jaguars preseason game? That was an adjustment by Jameis Winston. That was an adjustment that they made at the line of scrimmage based upon the coverage that they were seeing that they were then able to attack downfield. Now you're seeing it here in the huddle. Jameis saying, hey, they're playing this defense. That means they're going to do this. That safety is going to crash down. So if you take a little bit less of an angle on your cut, we're going to be able to get you downfield. And these are the types of things that you are going to see, or that you love to see, from Jameis Winston and from this New Orleans Saints offense. Remember, this New Orleans Saints offense isn't just predicated on being able to attack in the short areas of the field. It's predicated on being smarter than the opponent. And this was an example of Jameis Winston, Deontay Hardy, and the New Orleans Saints offense being smarter than the defense that they were lining up against on that play. And that's all that it takes. That's all that it takes. One right decision. This was something that Jameis had talked about that he learned from Drew Brees. Not trying to make the big decision, just trying to make the right decisions. This was an instance to where both were the same thing. The big decision was the right decision. So really, really great stuff from Jameis Winston, Deontay Hardy, and the New Orleans Saints offense. This was the day that they needed in terms of a kind of a bounce back for them going into the, or coming out of these sort of defensively dominated days. Now, it's worth mentioning, DeMario Davis also had a veteran day on this one. Cam Jordan got, you know, only a few snaps on this one. So they might have been aided a little bit by who's not out on the field. But you know what? Build that confidence as best as you can. Speaking of the offense and things you want to see from it, Dennis Allen told us before camp got started that this defense or this team would find its identity based upon toughness, smarts, and competitiveness. Now we're starting to see all of that translate, and a lot of it is going through big number 70, Trevor Penning. Let's break down a little bit of that aggressive nature that we're seeing, what it means to the New Orleans Saints, and of course, we'll talk about the new signing for the New Orleans Saints, adding to their tight end room as well. We got that coming up for you as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints, our live episode, which we get to do every Monday through Friday, thanks to our friends over at Bet Online. So if you are a sports wagerer, or you just love sports wagering information, sometimes it's just a really interesting way to break down games. How do these teams do on the road when they're underdogs? How do these teams do at home when they're favored? All of that. You can get a bunch of sports wagering information, a bunch of odds, lines, and props, of course, and even sports wagering podcasts over at Bet Online. If you want to bet on something, there's a bunch in terms of end of year awards, win totals, even game spreads already for like 11 regular season games for the New Orleans Saints. There's also the NBA, the NFL with all the other teams, the MLB, the NHL, esports, golf, horse racing, a whole bunch of things that you can get in on. So go and check it out today, wherever you, whatever you use to surf the web, whether you're on your mobile device, if you're on your laptop, you're on your desktop, you're going to be able to hit up Bet Online so that you can get all the trends in action. Once again, that's Bet Online, where the game starts. All right, family, we're continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Thanks again, everybody that's here for our live show. Remember, if you have questions drop them in the chat. I'll grab about five or so to answer in tonight's pre-recorded episode. I see many of y'all saying hi, many of y'all talking about the grind that we're on here on Locked On Saints. I really appreciate all the support because none of it happens without you. I always say this show is 70% you. It's only about 30% me, right? It's not just me talking to y'all, it's y'all. So I appreciate you very much for everything that you do in supporting the show. So I want to quickly jump to the recent news of the New Orleans Saints signing tight end Chris Herndon. Now, Chris Herndon is a former University of Miami prospect that was drafted by the New York Jets back in 2018, where he had a really, really solid rookie season. I'm pulling up some of his numbers right now. 39 catches, 502 yards. That's 12.9 yards per reception. And he also had four receiving touchdowns that year. Now, he was out for most of 2019. He got back in 2020, played in all 16 games, 2020, played in all 16 games of 2021 as well, but got a lot fewer looks over the course of the past couple of years. Now, he did have a nice 2020, 31 catches, but only 287 yards, averaging 9.3 yards per reception there, but three touchdowns. In Minnesota, was barely used, even though he appeared in 16 games. So there is something here. There's a lot of potential in Chris Herndon. Another thing that you'll like about him, 6'5", 253 pounds. So he's a quintessential New Orleans Saints tight end. It does beg the question, though, is there either a tight end in the room that's not catching on, like a Brandon Dillon or a J.P. Holtz by chance? Is there some concern that maybe you just need another tight end in the rotation while Taysom Hill is out? Or is this just simply a guy that they really like, that they know is available, and they're going to make room on the roster elsewhere in order to bring him in? Now, Dillon Maben was not at practice today. He's a part of the attendance that we'll talk about. Could it be that he's already been let go or something like that? So it looks like we'll get an opportunity to get a look at Chris Herndon tomorrow, but he is a big physical presence that does have a lot of pass catching ability. You look at guys like J.P. Holtz and Brandon Dillon, who are majority special teamers, as well as like majority blockers, things like that. Maybe Nick Vanette's kind of in that range as well, but Chris Herndon is a pass catching threat. He is a big time pass catching threat. So I do think that he's a good signing, but now we just need to figure out sort of why the signing is happening. Again, is it just that they feel like there's a talent there that they want to explore? Or are they having to make up for somebody that's not catching on in the room? Or is there a larger concern around Taysom Hill? And I don't want to push the panic button at all. It seems like a larger concern around Taysom Hill seems to be the sort of lesser option here, but Juwan Johnson was back at practice. So I kind of just wonder if maybe they're just looking for another guy to get into the fold. This isn't unusual for the New Orleans Saints, but it's a great signing for them, depending upon, you know, what sort of led to it, of course, but a lot of talent in Christopher Herndon for sure. I like him a lot. I put him on a few fantasy teams, taking flyers on him, and didn't work out for me in those years, but hopefully maybe he can catch on with the New Orleans Saints. Next, I want to jump into sort of our other big story of the day here, which is Trevor Penning. Look, Trevor Penning struggled a little bit today. You're going to have growing pains as a rookie. There's nothing to be concerned about or anything like that. I'm curious to see how he responds tomorrow. But we saw yesterday on Monday, he and Peyton Turner kind of got into a little bit of a scrap. Today, we saw him get into another couple of dust-ups, what's his name would say. But, you know, you've got, he kind of got into it a little bit with a defensive end. He kind of got into it a little bit with JT Gray at one point. It's something. It's something to watch. And it reminds me of Trey Hendrickson. Remember, Trey Hendrickson was always kind of getting, you know, the extracurriculars were always there with Trey Hendrickson. And this doesn't feel like a concern. I've had a few people that have asked me that question. Are you worried about Trevor Penning's aggression or his aggressiveness? And I'm really, really not. The reason why is because Dennis Allen told us last Tuesday night before training camp really got underway on Wednesday, that this team would be a team that builds its identity off of toughness, smarts, and competition, competitiveness. And what we're seeing are these guys being competitive. Some of the most physical reps that we have seen so far in training camp since the pads went on are special teams reps, right? Why? Because those are guys fighting for jobs. Like every time that somebody runs a special teams drill, that is them pursuing their dream of being an NFL player. special teams drills are remarkably important. We saw Kevin White have a nice special teams rep today and went off, vocal, very excited, saying, "I'm too effing big for this," all this other stuff, just kind of going off about it and everything. Like, special teams is one of those things that really brings out the competition in people, right? Imagine your job being run in a straight line down the field, but you have two people pushing you out of bounds. Like, those get really physical. On the offensive line, like Trevor Penning, you get very physical there too, right? So this idea that like these players are kind of getting a little scrappy, I'm not very worried about it at all, but I thought it would be worth discussing because it is exciting to see. It's exciting to see the passion and competition that this New Orleans Saints team is breeding right now, that's creating amongst its culture and its identity. And they're utilizing that as a part of their fuel within their practices and things like that. So if you hear anything about there being any concerns around physicality or anything like that, don't worry about it. It's not a problem until it's a problem, right? And right now, it doesn't seem like it's a problem. And it doesn't seem like the New Orleans Saints are all too upset about it either, which I think is the right approach for right now. Like, let the rookie do his thing. And if his brand of football is being a brand of football, is being a brand of offensive lineman, that's going to make some of the other guys mad, then fine. You'll accept that mauler, that road grader, that dog mentality anytime. The other piece to it, though, is that Trevor Penning did have some struggles. He got beat on one rep against Scott Patchen, who has really, really been somebody to watch so far during camp, number 60. He was recently signed. He's a Colorado State Rams legend or prospect. You know, I call everybody a legend from where they were. But he had a really nice rep. Trevor Penning also had two straight false starts, one of which the play didn't get blown dead. The other one, the play did get blown dead. So they actually took Penning out of the lineup for a rep, put him back in, and that's when he lost the rep to Scott Patchen. So the growing pains, as you would expect, are absolutely there for Trevor Penning, but it's all going to be fine. It's all going to come together over time. Wow, we've got a big time flyover right now. But so all of it's going to come together. So we'll see how it all goes. And remember, the New Orleans Saints are in a really, really good position right now when it comes to left tackle, because they've also got James Hurst that they can fall back on. Okay, let's get you all of the attendance updates, including an absent defensive lineman that really, really needs to prove that he can stay out on the field. A lot of people have a lot of belief in him, but he's got to be on the field in order to make good on that. We'll break all of that down as we continue on and wrap up today's episode of Locked On Saints. Let's get it, Houdat Nation. We are wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints with our quick report on attendance at the moment. Big shouts out to everybody that's in the chat. Remember, we're always live right after training camps, or soon after training camps. I'm not going to lie with you. I was hanging out with Hoodie Jube and some of the NOLA bros and all these other guys after practice. So I'm a little late today, but we out here. We're getting it done. So the next big thing that I want, and Hoodie's actually in the chat right now. That's super dope. So the big piece that's next is attendance. And there were some absences here that are worth really discussing. Now, they were the ones that we expected, right? Didn't expect to see Taysom Hill, didn't expect to see Tyrann Mathieu, didn't expect to see Rashid Shaheed, did not expect to see Marcus Davenport. We didn't see any of those guys, and that's okay. But there's a little bit of progress, and there's a little bit of, oh, and also Real Fan Sports. What's going on? Oh yeah, my dude, we were just having lunch. So over at WeDats. So we have a lot of different things that we can look at here in terms of progress, but also a big question mark when it comes to absence. So let's get to the absences first. Like I mentioned, defensive back Dylan Maben was not there and everything. And I don't know. He's kind of the last remaining future reserve cornerback guy coming from last year's practice squad and all that. We see the signing of Chris Herndon. We know there has to be a corresponding move in order for Chris Herndon to sit on the roster. So could that mean that Maben wasn't present because he has been cut? We don't know yet, right? So definitely something worth watching coming into tomorrow, where we expect very likely to see Chris Herndon at least maybe off to the side or something, getting some conditioning work in, but definitely something to watch. But Dylan Maben not present. Also not present was Peyton Turner, number 98. Now, I remember Peyton Turner and Trevor Penning kind of got into it yesterday. I don't think that it's a disciplinary thing that kept him away at all or not at practice today, anything like that. But I am curious about if maybe getting taken to the ground was something that, you know, irked an injury or irked something, or even if swinging at the helmet did something to his hand. I don't know. I don't want to speculate or put anything out there because we just simply don't know. It could also just be that he was sick we have no idea, right? So we'll see, but definitely something to watch out for, because Peyton Turner, one of the things that he said that he wants to show is that he can consistently be on the field. So missing the second padded day of practice is a little concerning based upon what you know that he's working on. I'm not ready to pull the plug on the guy, however. He's had a phenomenal camp so far, but you just want to see him out on the field and able to continue that. We did get to see some progress in a couple of other players. Pete Werner, of course, came back during yesterday's practice. He didn't participate in team drills, but he participated in 7-on-7 drills, which is a step forward, right? He did individual and position before that on Monday. Now on Tuesday, he's moved into 7-on-7 drills. So good news to see him progressing. And Juwan Johnson seemed to be fully available today, did full team drills, all of that. So great to see Juwan Johnson out there as well. You think about guys like Juwan Johnson, Taysom Hill, now Chris Herndon getting added to the bunch, and Adam Trautman, who has been the most consistent pass catcher so far, had another nice day of camp today throughout at least at the position, right, at tight end throughout camp so far. You have a lot of receiving threats at tight end all of a sudden, and just seeing, I think you start to feel better about it, seeing these guys make these catches, make these plays, get out there and sort of show what they can do. A healthy Adam Trautman, a healthier Juwan Johnson, you know, Taysom Hill repurposed at his pass catching role, all of that. So those things are huge. Huge in terms of what you're going to see with this New Orleans Saints offense that is going to be led by guys like Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Chris Olave, and Jarvis Landry. But if those tight ends start producing in the passing game too, I mean, what do you do as a defense? There was a moment to where at one point they lined up in a stack formation, i.e., you know, you get two receivers on the same side. They're a little bit offset from one another, but one is kind of lined up behind the other, not necessarily directly behind one another, but kind of off to the side, offset a little bit. And the one closest to the line of scrimmage was Chris Olave. The one furthest from the line of scrimmage was Michael Thomas. What do you do as a defender there, or as a pair of defenders there? And if your role is one of you takes the inside guy, one of you takes the outside guy, well, now you have two of the best route runners on the team that can convince you of one thing before doing the other. And then you're completely sold out at some point by the time that one of these receivers makes a cut. So you think about that. You think about Alvin Kamara coming out of the backfield. You think about Jarvis Landry on the opposite side. And of course, now if you've got tight ends that are going to be threats in the receiving game, what do you do? What do you even do as a defense? So it's been a lot of fun watching what the New Orleans Saints are putting together and the way that it's all coming together for them so far. We're going to get a little bit more in depth on that. We'll dive into the X's and O's, get into a little bit more of like what we're seeing from these New Orleans Saints on the offense. What are maybe some of the things that they're going to want to implement in 2022, and how the passing game is ready to take a huge step forward as we get into our pre-recorded episode this evening, which will include answering some of your questions that you've already dropped in the chat as well. So we have a lot to discuss, and we'll continue on with another second episode later on today, probably around 8 p.m. Central Time is when that will drop. But for now, I thank you so much for joining us for another live episode post-practice here on Locked On Saints. I appreciate you as always making us your first listen of the day. Every day, don't forget to go and check out that Locked On NFL podcast as well. Myself and Luke Braun in the Tuesday episode, breaking down everything around the Deshaun Watson situation. And of course, much, much more. So we got all that and much, much more all across the network that you can check out as well. So I appreciate you as always for making me a part of your day and a part of your routine. Go check out Hoodie Jube. Go check out Nola Bros. Go check out Real Fan Sports. All of the guys doing a lot of great work. I appreciate you as always, y'all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Remember, if you see me, say hi. And if you need anything else around your New Orleans Saints in between these episodes, make sure that you throw me a follow on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how you're momming them. And trust you, that nation, I'll holla at you.